Major scary monster catcher, Sunday morning, farts, and exhaustion, parts 18 through 21 of the Afarment Iowaverse by Shia Frotherden. Stargate Atlantis stories, rating G, pairing Rodney McKay, John Shepard, read by Library Chick 94. Major scary monster catcher. John grumbles as something disturbs his sleep, something worrying, something Finn-like. Daddy, 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 wake up, Daddy! Urf, John manages, pushing himself up on his elbows and poking Rodney hard in the side. Kid. He can just see Finn's tousled hair poking up into his line of sight. Monster in my closet, Finn babbles, trying to climb up onto the bed, thwarted in his attempts by the fact that one hand is entirely taken up with Elephant, his current favorite soft toy. John elbows Rodney harder and earns a low groan for his trouble. Hey, puddle jumper, it's okay. He shifts and kneels up, leans over Rodney, and pulls Finn up onto the bed, assaulted by little arms and legs as soon as their owner's able to make them do as he bids. Shh, it's okay, I got you. Monster in the closet, Finn repeats, almost choking John with his hold. John kisses his temple, arms tight around him. No monsters, promise. Monster in the closet, Finn repeats, a little more wound up. Finn, buddy. Monster in the closet! John winces and scoots up to sit back up against the headboard, arms full of the agitated little boy. It's okay, he soothes, and kicks Rodney in the ribs. Oomph, Rodney manages, finally pulling his head out of the pillow and squinting blearily. Ow. Hi, John says pleasantly, the sort of pleasant that means, you are in so much trouble, you prick. Awake? Daddy! Monster in my closet! Monster in my closet! Finn chants, wriggling out of John's hold and crawling under the covers to plaster himself up against Rodney's side. Ma what? Rodney asks, blinking in surprise. Monster. In his closet, John offers helpfully, scrubbing at his own face and trying to wake up a little more. Monster in my closet, Finn mumbles against Rodney's shoulder. Rodney frowns and rolls onto his side, the better to stare his son in the face. There's a monster? Finn nods. What does he... Is it a he? Finn nods again. What does he look like? Scary, Finn offers. And with the gloom... John arches an eyebrow. Gloom, he mouths at Rodney, nodding. That's what comes of teaching their son new words over dinner. Rodney narrows his eyes and gives him a scathing look. So, he turns his attention back to Finn. What did the monster do? Was gonna eat elephant. Rodney makes an astonished face. No! Finn nods emphatically. Eat him all up. We can't let that happen. No, no eats elephant. No eats eating elephants, exactly. Rodney chews on his lip as though deep in thought. You know what? Finn shakes his head. We're very lucky. Finn waits, not buying it. We have, Rodney continues, a scary monster catcher right here in our house. Finn's eyes get big. We does? Rodney nods solemnly. Your Baffa is a major scary monster catcher. They taught him how when they taught him how to fly planes. Baffa! Finn flips onto his back to look up at John. You catch monsters? John wets his lips. Well, I... Finn blinks, clutching his toy elephant to his tiny pajama chest. Sure, John sighs. I catch him all the time. Part of the job. I'll go to catch the scary monster and be right back, huh? He thinks about how it's damn chilly beyond their bed, and how Rodney's elegantly made sure he's the one who stays swaddled in blankets, and vows to switch the coffee to decaf in the morning, just for kicks. Finn nods. Careful, Baffa. John patently does not laugh at his son's warning tone. Sure thing, buddy. He slips out of bed and pads toward the doorway, pinching Rodney's big toe a little viciously as he goes. Finn's room is notably monsterless, but John feels honor-bound to check under the bed regardless, which is where he finds a sock and three pairs of underpants, plus a book about birds that mysteriously disappeared the Tuesday before last. He fishes around and pulls out a half-eaten peanut butter jelly sandwich and sniffs it to see if it's any good before throwing it into the trash. With the bed duly checked, he opens the closet door and looks at the jumble of shoes, toys, dirty clothes, rocks, newspaper, crayons, and pine cones that constitutes the usual consequence of telling Finn to tidy his room before Mrs. Gunderson comes over. John kicks at a shoe. So, he says, voice reassuringly loud and perhaps a little military-like, we meet again, scary monster. He hears a swift intake of childish breath from the next room. I'm sorry, Mr. Monster, sir, but I'm afraid you can't stay in this closet.
No, eats elephant, Finn yells.
See, we don't have proper monster food here, and we can't let you eat Finn's elephant. John pauses, as if to give Scary Monster a chance to reply. That's an excellent idea, Mr. Monster, he continues. You can leave so long as you promise never to come back. Swear you won't. Another pause. John can all but imagine the bated breath one room over. No problem, Mr. Monster, sir. I'll just open this window. John crosses and throws up the sash. You give my best to the other monsters. Have a nice life. He closes the window again. Okay. He gone? Finn asks. Gone, John calls back. Hold up one second. He grabs for giraffe, wolf, strange unnamed mammal, and squishy spaceship, and arranges them in a row in front of the closet door. Finn's toys, do you solemnly swear to uphold the law of no monsters in this bedroom right here? There's an appropriate pause in which John rumbles what might have been toy answers. Excellent. Stand easy, fellers. John ambles back to his own room. All done. Finn sits up in bed, grinning widely. You got rid of the monster! Yep, John says, flipping Finn a salute. All taken care of, Jumper. Finn tries to salute back and smacks himself in the eye. Ow. Rodney laughs softly and tugs Finn down, the better to kiss his eyebrow. Okay, that's enough excitement for one night. Probably several. Good thing the monsters aren't returning. Sleeping now. In a big bed? Finn asks, rubbing his nose, which is sort of near his eye. John climbs in the other side. No kicking. Steady with the kicks. It is not, Rodney protests as Finn giggles. In fact, I have the bruise on my ribs to prove that... Night, Rodney. John wriggles down amidst his pillows with a sigh, one arm thrown above his head. Night, Rodney concedes, and John can tell he's smiling. Finn squirms and oofs and humphs and talks to Elephant very seriously about lying still, then sticks his head in John's armpit, fingers wrapped around Rodney's thumb. He yawns fit to deplete the county of oxygen, then murmurs, Night's my daddy's in the stuff. John snorts softly. Night, Jumper. Night, Rodney yawns. Night, Mage Monster Ketchin, my daddy, Finn, as Elephant says, and John can't help himself. Laughs low and long like a frazzled Muppet, and it's surely this that convinces all the monsters in Iowa to stay far, far away. The end. Sunday morning. It's the first real warm day of spring, the sky overhead a fragile blue washed clean by rain, the dry dust of Winter's End turned dark, damped down, green at his edges as grass and daffodils lift their heads to test for sunlight and the longed-for blessing of slow, sweet air. John slumps in his chair, legs sprawled wide, a cup of coffee held safe in his hands. His head's tipped back, his eyes closed, and the idea of a smile hovers at one corner of his mouth as he listens to the song Finn's singing inside, a discordant rumination on the virtues of Cheerios, his faltering voice drifting through the screen door and out into the yard. The screen door slams, and John opens one eye. You all right? He asks as Rodney shuffles to collapse in the chair beside him. Rodney nods, nose in his coffee mug. Bowl of cereal big as his head. The words of Finn's song grow temporarily indistinct, no doubt a function of a mouthful of breakfast. John sips his coffee, lets out a breath, and reaches out with his left hand, palm turned up, empty and tentative, almost waiting. Rodney slips his right into the vacant space, links their fingers, and squeezes just a little. John smiles. Daylight savings blows, Rodney mumbles, thumb running gently over John's callous knuckles. Mph, John agrees, pulling on his coffee, kicking his feet up on the porch rail. Stupid idea thought up by, Rodney waves his mug, politicians. Brmph, John offers. Rodney sighs and drinks again. Finn's song finds its renaissance with all new verses about marmalade and apple juice, accompanied by the irregular beat of Burp's tail against the kitchen floor. It's highly possible the dog's scoring contraband treats, John reckons, since he's never noticed a particular talent for music in their mutt before now. He breathes out slow and swings his hand, pulling Rodney's along too. He likes the soft brush of the breeze against the inside of his wrist. So, Rodney yawns, blinking stupidly, today? John's eyes are half closed. Plans? John shakes his head. It's too early for plans. Too Sunday. Too spring. Nothing? Rodney yawns again. John shakes his head. No, really. I mean, don't you have things you want to do? Finn ramps up his performance with percussion and screeches, his spoon hitting table and salt shaker and bowl. John turns his head, smiles lazy and sure, squeezes Rodney's hand again. Just this, he murmurs, and Rodney blinks, then smiles, cheeks flushing slightly under John's gaze. Nuts, he offers as judgment after a second, but he lifts their hands to his lips, kisses John's fingers, and closes his eyes as if he might give in. The end. Farts. Not all parenting decisions, John discovers, are weighty things. His decision to make a house rule about farts, for instance, happens the day it occurs to him that he's going to have to stop letting rip in front of his son, or he's going to have to teach him that home is one thing and not home is another. Frankly, he likes a good fart, feels the satisfaction of it deep in his Y chromosome places, so it's not much of a choice to make, requires no philosophical wrangling. It's a rule with which Rodney's not altogether comfortable, considering that sometimes, when the chili's been made with an awful lot of beans, John and Finn sit out on the porch steps and fart in something like syncopated rhythm. John points out that Rodney farts in front of him, and Rodney says, "Yes, well, that's different, isn't it? You took me for Cheerios and blanket hogging, so..." And John says, "We'll teach him not to fart in front of other people. Not to act as if it's the best thing he's done in his short and colorful life. Where's the harm?" Which makes Rodney splutter and gasp, "Have you smelled them?" And John starts to laugh, a cheerful braying, "And you're hopeless," Rodney tells him. "Completely hopeless, and sometimes you smell." The end. Exhaustion. John starts when he hears the truck horn in the driveway. It's almost 10 at night, and he'd given Rodney up for lost in another feverish bout of lab activity, a second night of manic calculations to follow the first. He pauses and listens in case Finn stirs, but when there's no disturbance from upstairs, he pads through the house, opens the back door, steps out onto the porch. Rodney's standing between the truck and the porch steps, squinting blearily in the direction of the road. "Rodney?" Rodney turns to look at him, blinks, and smiles. "I do live here," he crows, and launches a series of meandering steps toward the porch. "Jesus, did you drive like this?" John asks, meeting him halfway despite his own bare feet, steadying him with a hand beneath his elbow. "I'm just tired," Rodney grumbles. "And what's more, I didn't feel so tired when I left the lab. It came over me all of a sudden, sneak attack, and there I was in the truck, and home was closer than Iowa City, and..." He widens his eyes comically, as if that might help him stay awake. "I drove really slow." John raises an eyebrow. "How slow?" 25 miles per hour?" John helps him navigate the porch steps. "You're an idiot. You should have slept on the lab floor again." Rodney grunts his disapproval of that idea. "I wanted a bed, thank you very much," he protests, eyeing the back door as if it might lunge at him. "And I got here just fine, minus that little..." He waves his hand. "Falling asleep at the wheel when I parked, and hitting my head on the horn debacle. At least that's what I think happened. I don't know why else I'd headbutt the steering wheel." John opens the back door for him. "You're crazy." "What?" Rodney asks, blinking. Hey, it's not like I hit a deer or anything." "Ever planning on letting that go?" John asks, gutting him inside. "Nope," Rodney says pleasantly. "Oh, our kitchen is so nice." He spins unsteadily and lands a messy kiss on the corner of John's mouth. "God, you're worse than when you're drunk," John sighs, smiling, closing the kitchen door with a kick. "Upstairs." "Which is, Rodney squints. "That way. Yes, definitely. Yes." And he wanders off, shedding clothes as he goes. John follows, switching off the lights and the TV, picking up Rodney's jacket, shirt, t-shirt, and belt. Upstairs, Rodney's standing in their bedroom, swaying just a little in the dark. "You need help?" John asks. "No," Rodney yawns, staring at his own feet before he kicks off his shoes and lets his pants puddle on the floor. He hops wildly as he tries to pull off his socks, then stands clad only in his boxers, sighing happily. "That's our bed." John laughs softly, crossing to pick up the discarded pants, lest they act as a dastardly tripping menace. Yes, it is," he says indulgently as he stands. And in the next second, Rodney's leaning against his back, cheek against his shoulder blade. "Rodney? You want to get in our bed?" "Definitely." He makes no move to do so. John turns and pulls at his hand, guides him to the bed, and pushes him gracelessly down upon it. "There you go." Rodney sighs, spread-eagled, rubbing his face against the sheets. "Mina, like, with the..." John smacks at one of his legs, amused and exasperated, then dumps the clothes in a chair and pulls off his own shirt and jeans. "Under the covers, hey?" "Eh, well, with the, Rodney replies intelligently, eyes closed. Stripped down to his boxers, John crosses to the bed, physically shoves Rodney over, and pulls down the covers. "Under." "Mean," Rodney sighs, but does as he's told, crawling over to his side and pulling the blankets up to his chin, fingertips peeking over the top. He's pink-cheeked and smiling in the most ridiculous fashion John's ever seen. "Bed," he whispers. "Yeah, buddy, bed," John agrees, smiling ruefully, and slides in beside him. Rodney turns his face on his pillow. "Hi." I were sleeping now, John points out. Rodney hasn't so much as opened one eye. Okay, he whispers before he gives into a jaw-cracking yawn. Oof, Narg, I missed you. John inches in closer. Yeah, he agrees, and presses a soft kiss to Rodney's shoulder. You too. But Rodney's gone at last, sacked out, mouth open, an early snore rumbling up from his chest. John stares at him for a second, then at the ceiling, and as quietly as he knows how, starts to laugh. The end.